Our second scripture reading this morning comes to us from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiada and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the artisans and the smiths had all departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." This is the word of the Lord. Throughout the course of human history in general, and throughout the story of the Israelites in particular, there has been a lot of change and upheaval, and times when it has felt like the whole world has been turned upside down. We are halfway through a worship series called Unraveled, reflecting on stories of times throughout the Bible when people's lives have fallen apart and they have turned to God. Somehow I suspect that if I had come across this reading in the before times, even 5 months ago, I would have passed it by and chosen to preach on another of the texts for the day. But in this season, I'm finding that this passage from the prophet Jeremiah is resonating pretty strongly. It seems a little bit dramatic to say that we today are living through a season of exile, and maybe it is a little bit of an exaggeration, but we are certainly in a season of change and upheaval, and not being able to do things the way we want to, and not being able to go to the places we would otherwise go, or see the people we long to see. It may not exactly be an exile, but it is enough like it to make us read the stories of the Israelites in exile in a different way than we might have done before. The story of the Israelites goes through a lot of changes in situation and location, changes in plot and theme, changes in leadership and goals. At various points throughout the Bible, they are a great nation. They are warring factions. They are slaves in Egypt. They are strangers in a strange land. They are weary refugees in an endless wilderness. They are warriors. They are liars. They are believers. They are doubters. At every point in the story, they are beloved by God. The story of the Israelites is in many ways the story of humanity. Throughout history and throughout our lives, we grow and change and learn. We discover new places and sometimes find ourselves in places where we would rather not be. Like the Israelites in Babylon, we are now in a place where we would rather not be. Throughout our lives, gatherings have been the heart of our communities. We have gathered for school, for work, for worship, for birthday parties and dinner parties and weddings, and during hot summers for picnics, and during cold winters for caroling and Christmas pageants. We have gathered with friends, with families, with neighbors, with strangers, with fellow commuters on buses, in crowds for parades, in lines to vote or to buy funnel cake. We have gathered in good times and bad. It never occurred to us that one day we would be unable to do any of that. It never occurred to the Israelites that they might one day have to leave Jerusalem and start all over as strangers in a strange land. And yet, somehow, that is where we find ourselves, as much as we wish that things could be different. And that is where the Israelites found themselves, in Babylon, far away from home. And I think that I can understand them now better than I ever have before. They didn't want to unpack because they hoped that they would be traveling back home soon. They didn't want to learn a new language or make new friends because they wouldn't be there long. They didn't want to make long-term plans because it was just going to be a little while that they would be away, right? But in our reading from Jeremiah today, God tells the Israelites that their exile is going to be more than just a little while longer. God tells them to unpack, to build houses, to plant gardens, to set down roots, to start new lives in Babylon. The word of God is not always comforting or uplifting. The word of God is often something that we don't want to hear, and I can't imagine that the recipients of Jeremiah's letter were reassured by its message. Their homes were in Jerusalem. The temple was in Jerusalem. Their lives were in Jerusalem. Everything that they had ever known was in Jerusalem. And yet, God tells them, "No, I'm sorry, but no, you can't go home. It isn't safe for you there. This wasn't my dream for you. I wanted you to live in peace in a land of milk and honey. But as long as there is injustice and greed and inequality, people will live in exile. Someday, I will bring you home. I promise. But that time isn't now. I'm sorry, but it isn't. Until then, I need you to survive. I need you to build homes. I need you to plant food for the winter. I need you to remember what is important to you and stay together and celebrate love wherever you can find it." Seventeen weeks ago, when I carried the chancel Bible home and lit a candle in my craft room for the first time, I assumed that it would be a temporary solution. I had no idea that I was about to go for months without any human contact. I don't think that any of us ever thought the world could change so much in just a few weeks. But this virus doesn't care what we think. And the fact of the matter is that the world has changed. And that there is a deadly virus in too many places where people gather. According to a New York Times article published last week, there have been over 650 confirmed cases of people contracting the virus from church services in the U.S. The rate of infection in Michigan has been slowly rising over the past month. More Americans have died from this disease than in World War I. I wish that these facts weren't true. but science doesn't need our approval to be true. I think that God is telling us, like God told the Israelites so long ago, that this season is going to go on for a while longer than we'd thought, and that it's time to plant gardens to get us through a longer exile than we've been planning for. I have had some very heavy conversations with our church leaders this week, both individually and when we unanimously voted to extend our season of worshiping at home for another month. We all know people who have been tested for COVID. We all know people who have been diagnosed with it. We all know healthcare professionals who are facing something that they do not know how to treat or cure. And as I've been reflecting on this passage from Jeremiah this week, I've been thinking about the proverbial gardens that we need to plant to get ourselves through this season of separation. As some of you may know, I haven't taken any time off in an entire year. I've been putting it off because the amount of work it has taken to transform almost everything about the way we do church has been too overwhelming. But if God is telling us to plant gardens and prepare for a longer season than we'd hoped for, then I need to take time off. After our usual evening prayer service this Wednesday, I will be going off the grid for a week. Next Sunday, my good friend Becca will be leading us in worship. She'll be streaming directly to our page, so you'll be able to find her exactly the same way you found me this morning. Sometimes the gospel isn't good news, and I don't really have any good news with which to close this sermon, except to promise you that God was with the Israelites, even in exile, and that God is with us, even now.